Well, good morning. My name is Sue Shank. I am the communication coordinator here at Grace Covenant Church, also married to Merle Shank, our awesome pastor. And we are in week two of our Advent series, Adore. And as you can see on the graphic here, we are focusing on, throughout the 4 weeks of Advent, we're focusing on these four words: wait, behold, listen, and adore. And these four words are all a part of the Christmas story, whether they're literally mentioned, and some are, or whether they are in there in concept. And our heart during this Advent season and during this Advent series is to provide a space and an atmosphere that isn't like super busy and loud and blinking lights, thus our winter wonderland in here. But we want to have an atmosphere both here in the sanctuary and here in our heart that compels us to focus our attention on, to set our attention on, to come and adore Jesus, the one whom Christmas is all about. Last week, Catherine did a wonderful job opening the series and talked about the concept of waiting. If you missed that, please go on our website, gcch.org, click on Listen and Read, and you can find any of our sermon series. And today, we will be looking at the word behold. So let's pray. Father, we do come in reverence before you this morning. Even as a baby, you were worthy of adoration. And as you walked this earth, you were worthy of adoration. And today, though we don't literally see you, we believe in you. And we sense you, and we hear you, and we come in adoration this morning before you. Father, would you come and breathe life onto the words that are spoken, your life, that people can hear your words and your heart. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Behold, it's not a word that we use much, if at all, anymore. And unless you've already been singing, which I think we might have sang this last year, O come, all ye faithful, O come and behold him, born the King of angels. Or there's an obscure verse in We Three Kings that says, glorious now, behold him, arise, King and God and sacrifice. And then there's an also rarely sung chorus of O Holy Night that says, he knows our needs, to our weaknesses no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Behold your King. Before him bend. So unless you've been singing some of these Christmas carols already, I doubt that many of us, if any of us, have used the word behold in our normal conversation at all this past year in 2017. Nobody's saying, behold, I just sent you an email. Please be sure to read it. Or, behold, children, it is time to go to bed. Or, behold, I need to study for my final exams. Or even, I am going to behold A White Christmas on TV tonight. We just don't use the word much. But the word behold appears in the King James Version of the Bible 1,298 times. And literally, we find it in chapter 1 of Genesis, and we go all the way through, and the last time we find it is in Revelation 22:12. It's in there a lot of times. And in Luke's account of the Christmas story in chapters 1 and 2 of Luke, it's mentioned 8 times alone, just in the Christmas story. And that caught my attention. What is it with this word? What is it? Is it just an old-fashioned way of saying, hey, yo, check this out? Is it like our modern day, what is it with this word? it's hardly a filler. It's not a filler. The biblical meaning of behold has such a richness to it, a richness that I think really puts parts of the Christmas story in a different light. And so I first want to look at the definition of behold, and these are different definitions that I found in my studying. The King James Version Dictionary says to fix the eyes upon, to fix the eyes upon. That means you stay, to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care, to give one's undivided attention to. It's almost as if saying, listen, because this is very important. Strong's Greek Hebrew Dictionary says prolonged for, which means extend the duration of. It's more than just a glance. And the Sushank Dictionary, the SS Dictionary, says be on hold. Instead of like, whew, be on hold. There's no single word in the English language that adequately conveys the scope of meaning of this word. And so one of the commentators said that's why that many of even our current modern day translations of scripture, some of them don't replace the word behold because there's not one word in the English dictionary that covers the whole scope. I love this. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now, Paul isn't talking here about literally looking into a mirror and beholding, but he is saying it's as if you were beholding, you were giving your undivided attention to, you were extending the duration of your attention to. You know, I think it's a great word picture because most of the time when we look in a mirror, it's usually not a, like, okay, everything looks good. We linger at a mirror. We do extend the duration of. And so Paul says, beholding as in a mirror. If we are beholding the image of God, then that's what we will become. Paul says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, you're being transformed into the same image. You're beholding, and so you're being transformed. We become what we behold. We become what we behold. And if we're beholding Jesus, we become like him. We become what we behold. I want to spend the next few minutes just looking at some of the beholds in Luke's account of Jesus' birth. And I believe that we will see in each of these behold instances, things changed, people changed, situations changed, God moving, and God speaking. And I believe that the same thing holds true for us today as we take time to behold the Lord. We change, our situations can change, God can speak, and God can move. So I first want to go back to a prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And this is part of a prophecy spoken hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. You know, and as Catherine had shared last week, between the last page of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, where Jesus finally arrives, there was 400 years of silence. gives new meaning to long lay the world in sin and error, pining, just pining. God, give us something. Where are you? But a word had been spoken. Behold. Behold. A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And perhaps when the people experienced hopelessness through these years of silence as they waited and waited, perhaps hope would begin to arise as they fixed their attention on the promise that was spoken to them. When they were feeling hopeless, they took the time to behold this promise, and hope would rise in them. How about you? Are you feeling a sense of hopelessness in any area this Christmas season? I believe that when you and I take time to behold God, we get to know the one who exchanges our hopelessness with his hope. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. That wording, I'll speak for myself. When I feel hopeless about something and then hope comes, there's a thrill with that. I'm hopeful. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. God's heart for you is to abound in hope, not to eke by, not to starve for hope, but to abound in hope. As we come and behold the Lord, perhaps he will speak hope to your situation. So then we get to the book of Luke and his account of the Christmas story. And I do love Luke. The very first, in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he talks about how he investigated everything carefully from the beginning to write it out for you in consecutive order so that you may know the exact truth about the things which have been taught. If you're a task-structured person like I am, that just is like, yes! He investigated everything. It's in consecutive order. It's exactly like it happened. So in Luke 1:31, he says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. This was the angel speaking to Mary. Behold, Mary, pay attention. Listen to this, because this is important. This captured Mary's attention. And I believe in this moment, well, it was literally, life was spoken over Mary. Life was spoken over her. And life was spoken in her. And the ironic thing is, it was when she was least expecting it. She wasn't looking for it. She wasn't even asking for it. And yet God spoke life over her and into her. And I believe as we take time to behold the Lord, it puts us in the same posture where we too can receive life from the Lord, where we're calling out for it and crying out for it and hoping for it, and where we least expect it. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So as we behold the Lord, God can speak life over us and into us. In Luke 1:36, the angel again is speaking to Mary, and he says, and behold, pay attention, extend the duration of your attention on this, Mary. Even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. Behold, once again, God, through the angel, captures Mary's attention. And what I see here is this sense of God showing his blessing doesn't just pertain to one person. It can cover anyone and everyone He says, even your cousin Elizabeth, even your cousin Elizabeth, God's blessings reach near and far and apply to everyone. You know, perhaps you've been wrestling with thoughts of, why does so-and-so get that blessing and I don't? When is that ever going to happen to me? I'll probably never get blessed like that. If that's you, then I encourage you to take time to behold and adore the one who shows no partiality, who has blessings prepared for all of us, you included. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Come and behold the Lord. In Luke 1:38, and Mary said, behold, the bondslave, or another word would be servant, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Mary spoke the word, behold, and she gave her yes to the Lord. That's what she did. She's like, all right, Lord, yes, be it done to me according to your word. And I wonder, I think, if it took her relationship with the Lord to a whole nother level by saying yes. You know, anytime God asks you or I to do something, we have the option to say, behold, Lord, do not do that to me, and I will not obey. We do. And we also can respond as Mary did and say, be it done to me according to your word. And I think when that happens, it does something to our relationship with the Lord. It takes it to another level. Perhaps today you're feeling kind of stale in your relationship with the Lord, that it's kind of flatlined, it's not really going anywhere. If so, then I would encourage you to come and behold and adore the Lord and say yes to whatever the last thing is that he's asked of you that you have yet to give him a response to. Say yes. No matter how small or menial a thing it may seem. Obviously, this was a pretty big thing that Mary said yes to. Bigness or littleness doesn't matter to the Lord. It's the obedience to say yes. And then I believe as we say yes to the Lord, it causes an upward trajectory in our relationship with him. I love the Message version of James 4:8. It says, say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Come and behold him and say yes to God. In Luke 1:48, this is still Mary speaking. She says, for behold, from this time on, all nations will call me blessed. She's the one here saying, pay attention, focus on this, extend the duration of your focus on this. I can almost hear in Mary saying this, my legacy is being written by saying yes. From this point on, this changes my legacy by saying yes. When we come and behold and adore the Lord and say yes to him, part of our legacy can be written as well. And who knows, it may change the course of future generations. Our simple yes can change the course of generations. In Genesis 22:18, God is speaking to Abraham, and he says, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Because Abraham said yes, your offspring shall be blessed. when we come and behold the Lord and say yes to him, it can change our future generations. And in Luke 2:10, and the angel said to them, and Mike referenced this earlier, this is spoken over the angels, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Behold, the angel sensed the fear that the shepherds had, and he spoke peace and assurance to them. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. You know, there is no lack in today's world of things to be fearful about. I dare say any of you would be, I have to think about something, you know, to be fearful about. There's worldwide things all the way down to current things in our own lives. But what if we choose to come and behold and adore our Savior when we begin to fear? Instead of beholding the thing or the situation that feeds our fear, what if we choose to behold and focus our attention on Jesus? If we choose to behold God instead of our fears, peace can flood our hearts and minds in Christ. Remember, we become what we behold. If we're beholding fear, we become fearful. If we're beholding Jesus, we become peaceful, and his perfect love casts out all fear. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end to his peace. Now, this does not refer to an external peace. There is tragedy and there's war going on. This is an internal peace. There will be no end to the increase of the internal peace that we can receive from Jesus. Behold, behold, behold. Observe with care. Be sure to see. Fix your eyes on. Extend the duration of your attention. We would be smart to pay attention to any scripture that contains the word behold. Instead of just brushing over it like there's that old English, Greek, whatever they were talking about there, we would be smart to pay attention. Charles Spurgeon, who is a preacher in the 1800s, I love this quote of his. He said, I would add, behold is like a divine highlighter, a divine underlining of an especially striking or important text. It says, in effect, listen up, all ye who would be wise in the words of Jehovah. A divine highlighter, a divine underlining. It's saying, listen up. Listen up. Throughout this Advent series, our heart is to help each of us find a space and a desire to come and adore Jesus. But I don't think we can come and adore someone that we're not beholding. You can behold things and not adore them, but you can't adore something without having spent time beholding it. So, how are you doing at beholding the Lord? Do we really know how to stay still, cease everything, and give our attention to him? One commentator said, we're really good today at looking everywhere at once. Newsfeed, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, TV. He says, but what happens then is that no one and nothing really has our undivided attention. Church, let's not be a people who look everywhere at once, thus giving nothing, especially the Lord, our undivided attention. Let's not treat the Lord like one more swipe in our day. Here's my Twitter feed. There's what's going on Facebook. There's the Lord. There's the news. Let's not be guilty of that. What does this look like? I'll speak to you personally from just this week. As you prepare, you tend to experience it, and you want to experience because you're pouring out what's in you. So I just spent some time. I love having my quiet time every morning with the Lord, but as I'm having my quiet time, I'm also thinking, oh, golly, I got to do that. Oh, let me get up and just do this. So I have to, like, just sit. It's hard for me to sit sometimes. So this past week, I just put music on, and I just either sat or I got on my knees in my kitchen before the Lord. I didn't talk to him about anything. I just spent time beholding the Lord, listening to some anointed worship music. And then at some point this week, I had an interaction with somebody not in this church family. So don't be thinking, was that me? I just talked to Sue this week. She talked about me. Somebody outside of this church, love this person dearly, but there's a button that gets pushed regularly. And so this button got pushed. And do you ever have that? Maybe the guys don't, but women, do you ever have a mad, sad cry? Like, I was so mad that I was crying. And Merle and I, you know, we were heading over to meet with a couple, and so we had to sit in the car because I was so mad at this situation. And then he and I were kind of getting in an argument. Like, it wasn't even his fault, but, like, he was there conveniently. I could get mad at him, too. So then we go in to meet with this couple, and I come in, and I'm all teary-eyed, and the wife's like, what's the matter? And I kind of spill it there. So we had this time with this couple. It was wonderful. We leave. We go home. I go to bed, and I'm starting to get mad all over again. And so I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm mad all over again. It's the middle of the night, and I'm awake, and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? What do I do with this? And I knew the Lord said, you just need to start beholding me. So at about 3:15 that morning, I just calmed, you know, instead of rehearsing and defending and, well, this is what I'm going to say and this is so unfair, I just got quiet before the Lord and spent time beholding him. And the Lord spoke a very specific scripture to me for what my next step would be. It wasn't like, woohoo, yay, I get my way. It's like, woohoo, I get to say yes and obey and do the right thing. But that's what beholding looked like for me. And then even this morning, TBH, I woke up and I started to get fearful about some things. And I just thought, what the? I sat out in the kitchen, put some worship music on, and just beheld the Lord. Just spent time in God's presence. Church, we want to be a people who behold the Lord. Let's make space in our lives to give him our full, prolonged, undivided attention. And perhaps we will be amazed at what he does, how he speaks, and how he moves in our lives. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So instead of me just talking about taking time to behold, I want to give us a few minutes to do that. And so what I'm going to do is Philip's going to play a song here, and I'm encouraging you, put your phones away. Don't be having a conversation with the person next to you. I just want you to behold the Lord. You can sit, you can kneel, you can stand. I just want to give you 5 minutes in this whole Advent season to behold the Lord. Focus on him. Listen to the Lord. Maybe say yes to something he's asked of you. Give him your undivided attention for the next few minutes, and then I'll close this. Us with how you meet with us when we behold you. Thanks, Lord, for how much of your attention is focused on us. Us to be a people that focus our attention on and behold you, Jesus. We come and adore you. Christ the Lord. Could the ministry team come up at this point? And we're a few minutes early, so parents, you don't have to rush upstairs to get your children, but I'm going to dismiss you. But if you would like prayer for anything, we have a ministry team who loves to pray with people. So you are welcome to come and receive prayer. You're welcome to be dismissed. You're welcome to just sit and continue to behold the Lord. Have a great week.